Do you know someone deserving of a Servies Award? The Servies Awards celebrate the men and women who have poured, served, seated, greeted, and worked tirelessly to help us thrive. Help Yelp for Restaurants recognize their efforts by giving back to those who have given us so much. Winners receive a beautifully designed Servies trophy and a $3,000 tip. That's right, $3,000 in their pocket. Voting begins now. Visit theservies.com today and nominate that special someone for a chance to win today. No purchase necessary, must be 18 plus and a U.S. resident. 6 nominated contest winners will receive a prize of $3,000. Nominations must be submitted between July 31st, 2023 and August 23rd, 2023. See the official rules available at theservies.com. Now here we go.
2 hours after the game, and our tuba player comes out in the middle circle and starts playing the opening beats of Stand By Me. And everyone has their arms wrapped around each other, players, staff, cast, fans, and we're all singing Stand By Me. That's a moment that I think is like, there's nowhere else in the world that's bringing people together like this. And if we can keep doing that all over the world, bringing families, 2-year-olds and 82-year-olds together, and just have joy, happiness, where people don't take themselves so seriously, or we're just having fun, that would be winning in success over the years to come.
Welcome to Full Comp, a show offering insight into the hospitality industry, featuring restaurateurs, thought leaders, and innovators. Served up on the house. Are you on track to hit your profitability goals for this year? If you're struggling to hit your numbers, I might be able to help. Here's how I do it. Every year, I offer 5 complimentary growth sessions to restaurant owners looking to scale. In this call, we'll examine your current situation to see what is and isn't working. We'll identify your growth possibilities by the close of the year. We'll uncover the number one thing holding you and your business back. And we'll develop a growth plan that will get your business results. Go to planwithjosh.com to schedule one of the 5 complimentary growth sessions. They're going to go quickly. They always do. Jesse Cole is not a restaurateur. But, like so many of us, he's an entertainer at heart. I brought him on the show to discuss his latest book and his team, the Savannah Bananas, and how they've redefined what it means to attend a professional baseball game. This is a masterclass on exceeding customer expectations, building an unforgettable experience, and staying true to the mission of your brand.
I put on a show every night, and fortunately, our platform is a baseball field.
And it's been a meteoric success, pretty much out the gate, which is beautiful, but that's not where I want to start. I was listening to a podcast recently, and the guy on the show said that most entrepreneurs fail because they give up right before they're about to break through. And I know that you had a very similar moment, and I want you to take me back to that. What was that moment where you should have given up but didn't?
January 15th, 2016 at 4:45 p.m. was when my phone rang. Yes. And it's actually, I'll never forget that moment because Alex McDonald called me on our team and said, we are about to overdraft our account. And we're going to miss payroll. And at that point, we were 4 months into running the Savannah Bananas. We'd only sold a handful of tickets and we were out of money. And I remember that moment because it was my best friend's wedding from college and we were getting ready to get in the car and go to it. And I got that call right before 5 o'clock, and that changed that wedding and it changed the history for us and what me and my wife did to try to keep the team going.
In that moment, I mean, they say everybody's an idiot until they're a genius. What did the self-talk look like for you? How did you convince yourself to move forward when, I mean, obviously things looked incredibly bleak?
Well, it's one of those things that we had already committed to buying the team. We bought an expansion franchise in Savannah, Georgia. We already went into hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. We really didn't have any other options other than the boats were burned. We had to find a way. We had 3 people right out of college who trusted them with us. And we had a 24-year-old team president who left his job in the minor leagues to be with us. And we had a lot of players that had signed to play with us and a coach. We had to make it work. And so there were no other options. I mean, people ask, how are you feeling? I mean, we sold our house. We emptied out our savings account. We were sleeping on an airbed. We were literally down to our last dollar, grocery shopping with $30 a week. I remember going into Walmart with, we had a $20 bill and a $10 bill because we knew we didn't want to use credit cards. So we went in with the $30 and said, this is it for the week. But we said, just got to get to that first game. Got to get to that first game. Once they see that first show, hopefully they'll be impressed and seeing something they've never seen before. So it wasn't really like, oh, we can't do this. What are we going to do? Oh, woe is me. It's, we got work to do. Let's get to work.
And you had said people were going to see something they had never seen before. There's this phrase, pioneers get slaughtered and settlers get land. You're selling something that was really hard to conceptualize before you actually did it. And to diehard baseball fans, it was probably offensive to a certain degree that this was some bastardization of the game that they loved so much. And in building something entirely new, you had to push through a lot of stuff that most people don't. What did that look like?
Well, what people don't realize is I spent 10 years with a small little team in Gastonia, North Carolina, trying the grandma beauty pageants and the flatulence fun nights and the donut burgers and doing dunk the GM inning where I would get in the dunk tank every single game in the fifth inning. I mean, I was part of it and it was just a smaller market, but we went from 200 fans a game to 2000 fans a game. So I saw what it could be now going to a bigger market. And I think they always say, I got to see it to believe it. Well, I already saw it. I saw it in my head. I saw our senior citizen dance team called the Banana Nanas dancing during the game. I saw our breakdancing coach. You know, I saw our banana pep band playing music outside and playing during the game. I saw a banana baby that we'd put a baby in a banana costume and lift them up in the air with all the players around and singing the Lion King song. I saw that. And I saw the idea of making an all-inclusive ticket. Because I said, how are we going to get people interested in coming to a game that they don't? What if, well, if we include all the food, and no ticket fees, no convenient fees, no service fees, no taxes, $15 for all-inclusive burgers, hot dogs, chicken sandwiches, soda, water, popcorn, maybe they'll at least give us a chance for a free dinner. And so I believed that. And now I just had to convince people. And I think that's one of the biggest things. I never thought I was selling. I was just telling people what I believed in.
Now, at $15 all in, how do you make money?
Well, if you do the numbers, I started looking at it as like, in the middle of a hot Savannah summer, how many burgers and hot dogs can someone really eat? Will they want to eat? I looked at it and I said, worst case scenario, we had Angus beef burgers. They were costing $1.50. We had all beef Oscar Mayer hot dogs costing us 65 cents. Sodas costing 25 cents. Grilled chicken sandwich costing over a little over a dollar. I said, worst case scenario, we break even. Worst case scenario. But kids and other ones. So I said, if we just get people in, they enjoy the experience. Again, I don't focus so much on the revenue and the sales. I focus on creating fans. And if you create enough fans, they'll find ways to buy. And that's what's happened with our merchandise. And that's what happened around the ballpark, finding new options, new opportunities for them to buy alcoholic drinks or other premium items. They found a way to do it.
How did you get so savvy when it comes to marketing? What did your formal or informal education look like that got you to where you are?
Not a formal education. It was a forced education. Right, I'm looking right ahead. I have probably 2,000 books in front of me. When I first started as a 23-year-old general manager of a team in Gastonia, North Carolina, there was $268 in the bank account my first day, 200 fans coming to the games, and there was no revenue. And so I was like, I got to convince people to come out to these games. So I was a big Walt Disney fan. I loved the idea of saying, hey, we need to make it more than just baseball. So I started reading about P.T. Barnum. And started studying WWE. I was like, we can't be like the baseball team. Because it was very obvious. Josh, I mean, we're never going to be the best baseball team in the world. But could we be the most entertaining? Everyone tries to be a little better. How can you be the only? And so I started learning that from like Walt Disney, what they did with Disneyland, and what he did with Snow White, and P.T. Barnum, what he did with his museum before the circus. He was the only. And I said, the only way to be the only is we have to do things no one else is doing and focus on things no one else is focusing on. And that's at 23 years old, started testing and started having success there before we went all in with Savannah.
It makes me think of David Ogilvy, this famous advertiser. He had said that in order to have a successful product, not only do you have to have a great product, but you have to have a big idea that you can attach to it, that people will follow. What's the big idea for the Savannah Bananas?
Well, it's a very simple concept, and I think very few companies have a good answer to it. What makes you different? Oh, we have better food, better service. We have better. Again, what are you the only on? In our website, we have every area that makes us different. And we've gone to the complete extreme where we've actually invented our own sport, banana ball, where it's a 2-hour time limit. If fans catch a foul ball, it's an out. There's no bunting. You bunt, you're thrown out of the game. You can steal first. So the big idea, it's a comparison. If you look at boxing and then you have UFC. If you look at traditional wrestling, then you have WWE. We are the all-in, entertaining, faster, new generation type of baseball. And it's very unique when we have players doing dances and players on stilts. Every part of our show, we're hoping, is something you've never seen before.
And that all makes sense today. And I'm sure that you have a line out the door of people that want to work for you and participate in all of this. But if we go back to the beginning, I bet it was scary for people. And we live in a world where there are these constant labor shortages and it's hard to get people enrolled in what we're trying to achieve in our businesses. How did you achieve that level of enrollment before you launched? And then in the early days, before there was momentum?
Oh, no one wanted to work with us. No one wanted to play from us. We couldn't sell a sponsorship. We couldn't sell a ticket. We would drive 2 hours to try to sell 10 tickets to a small church. I mean, we did everything we could. I think what happened, and I remember at the beginning, we had to actually like coach and teach our people how to handle criticism. When we named the team the Bananas, we were ripped apart. When we brought in the players, we actually spent a whole day teaching them. When people say that's the dumbest name, I can't believe you're playing for a team. We had to like coach them up on that. It's ironic now that we have a wait list of, I think, 4,000 people that want to work with us, not counting the 900,000 that's on the wait list to buy tickets. What we went through is, again, the leader and the founder, I was bullish on saying who we are and what we stand for and screaming it from the top of the mountains. And if you look at who did this as good as anyone, it was Steve Jobs. It was very, very clear. Go back to the 1984 commercial and everything he did with Apple. This is what, I mean, literally the Think Different campaign was literally idolizing the heroes of the people that think different. So I just kept repeating over and over again, we are fans first. We are fans first. That's the name of our company, Fans First Entertainment. And then we started sharing it. And this is where it takes time, Josh. A lot of people, they said, oh, we just got to attract. Or we got to try to recruit. The best way to bring on top talent is to attract. And the only way you can attract is if A, your leaders are sharing who they are and screaming from the top of the mountaintops, and you are showing the experience that you deliver. So we spend $0 on marketing. Now, in the beginning, you want to talk about the failures? We did every newspaper, radio. I mean, it was a disaster because we were just noise like everyone else. Now, we have a huge video team, creative team that we don't say, what's our marketing campaign? We go to our ballparks and our shows, our sold-out shows, and we film everything. And then we share it. And so it shows people what it's like and what it's to experience it. And I think that's the best form of marketing. You're literally talking about it and sharing it in a way that's relatable. And so now we attract people that say, I want to be a part of this because I see what it's like. I hear what their founders believe in. I hear what the leaders say. That's what I want to be a part of. So we don't recruit anymore. We solely just put out and we attract. And it's made it a lot easier to get top talent.
You talk a lot about being a founder and the founder's vision. There are a lot of business owners out there that don't want to stand out in front of their business. And as a result, they're hamstrung by just the business itself. I think a lot of it is that people just like to do the work, that they're in love with the work, and maybe not everything that comes along with it. As we sit here, you are in a bright yellow tuxedo, and you took the reins and you took the spotlight from the very beginning. Did you feel foolish at first?
I still feel foolish every day. Are you kidding me? And I'm okay with that. When I was 23 years old, 2 months into running that first team in Gastonia, I went to a conference called the Fun is Good Conference with Mike Vec. And Bill Vec is the famous owner of all the Chicago White Sox that did all the crazy things in baseball. And he was running it. And I knew we had $268 in the bank account. We were failing. And I ran up to him as a hungry 23-year-old. And I said, it's been between sessions. I go, Mike, I took over this failing team. I really want this to be successful. What do I do? And he goes, kid, you got a lot of energy. You got a lot of enthusiasm. Number one, you got to be the face of the team. Number two, you got to get a little crazy. And that stayed with me as a 23-year-old, which obviously now in a yellow tuxedo, I'm still crazy and I'm still the face. But there are millions of people that are introverts and they don't want that. But you need someone that can really stand up and stand out and share what you and your company, your restaurant believes in. It's not just about the food you serve. It's about why you're doing it and what you're all about. And if you don't have anybody that's sharing that, it's a bigger challenge. Then you have to be just kind of a corporate brand who talks about it. So again, I don't have a lot of the experience in doing it the other way. But I know as we're building our second brand now, the Party Animals, our second team, which now has over 2 million followers and more than every major league team on TikTok, which doesn't make sense to me at all. I am disappeared from that. We had a Party Animals game when the Bananas were involved. I was hidden. I was hiding and taking notes and being undercover. And so we're trying to make that point of view of that team so strong, the greatest party in sports, so strong that it'll attract people, attract fans to be a part of it. So you have to really go the distance on being loud with what you stand for if you don't have someone who's going to be the face, because they can't go back and forth on media or go back and forth talking to be able to make it very clear.
Which is great when people are heaping praise upon you, but I'm sure you get a fair amount of criticism as well, and you've gotten a fair amount of criticism over the years. Talk to me about the intestinal fortitude required to stand out front and take both the criticism and the praise and not be overwhelmed by either.
Criticism sucks. I hate it. And we get it every day now. And Jackson Olsen, one of our top players and biggest following, said that day, he goes, we're gaining more and more fans, but we're also gaining more and more haters. And it's true. With 12 million followers in social media, there's thousands of people who really hate what we do. Most of them have never been to a show. I'm very aware of that. They've never actually seen a show. They just hate it from what they see on the outside, which I get. It's tough. But I also realize that if you're not getting criticized, you're playing it too safe. Anybody who really did anything in this world has been criticized and they've been misunderstood. Jeff Bezos always said that you have to be willing to be misunderstood. So when I can zoom out, it's much easier to take it. And one thing that I always do is I do a lot of gratitude. I write thank you letters every day. I do thank you videos. A day that I get a lot of criticism, and we've got a lot of late as we continue to grow, I go back and do a thank you video to someone, or I write a thank you letter, or I zoom out and say, look at where we were a year ago. Look at where we were 2 years ago. Look at how far we've come. And that helps me mentally, because when people attack you and say, this is Jesse's joke, Jesse's greedy, all he cares about money, which is, I literally have no idea what's in our bank account right now. I don't even think about money. I think about fans. That hurts because it's so not true. And they still weigh on me. But I try to focus and zoom out. So I wish I had a great answer about it, but it's not like I don't feel it. When someone's throwing shade at me and throwing, it hurts. It really does.
How do you deal with overwhelm?
It's a question I don't think about often. What I focus on is doing what gives me energy. And so I think a lot of people get overwhelmed when they're having to do things that wear them out, that burn them out, that exhaust them. They're overthinking things. Every day I have an energy list. It's to do things that are where I get to create, where I get to share, or where I get to grow. So right now with you, Josh, I'm able to share with you. I'm able to create something new with you that's never been out before. And I'm able to grow with you and learn from your questions and learn from what's interest and what your curiosity is. So this hits the trifecta. So when I fill my day with things that give me energy, I don't think about being overwhelmed. I think about what's that next thing I'm going to do that's going to fire me up.
I love that. You've got this small team in a small town, now teams, and you're a global brand. I mean, you guys get attention everywhere. And I know that storytelling and social media played a critical role in that. What did that look like in the beginning? I would assume that you started ugly like everyone else, and then it just evolved from there, yeah?
Well, yeah, we started, you know, with Facebook, or now Meta. Literally, Facebook is what we started with, and there was no TikTok. We didn't do anything on Twitter. We had no YouTube. I mean, literally a year ago, I think we had less than 10,000 YouTube followers. And yeah, I mean, great innovation involves a ton of iteration. And so I just looked at our TikTok, our biggest following, about 7.5 million followers. I just instructed our team. I said, post every day and learn every day. Post every day and learn every day. And we started in 2020 when not everyone was doing it. We started posting and learning and seeing what works. And so that's been what we believe firmly here. It's quantity leads to quality. You learn by doing. I mean, we did so many posts. I remember we'll talk about our team. They did a post of two interns wearing chicken costumes and just doing nothing really in the outfield. And I talked to them. I go, what was that? And they said, well, we got to post every day. And I go, does that make baseball fun? Is that a part of our brand? They go, no, it doesn't. I go, all right, post every day on how we make baseball fun. And then it continued to be clear by seeing certain things that don't work and that do work. Our biggest videos are our 3-2-2 dances in the third inning, second batter, second pitch. Our pitcher, our infielders, and outfielders do a dance. We literally in the ESPN documentary, it showed our first ever meeting where we discussed that. And we said, all we're going to do is just do this one drop challenge where they drop and see what happens. It got 20 million views. Ding, ding, ding. Do it again. And then we came up with a different dance. And then it was like, ooh, can we involve stilts? Can we have our umpire doing things? And then you keep plussing and plussing and plussing. And this is what Walt Disney was unbelievable at. He would look at something and he would pluss it. Right now, our pregame show has over 50 different promotions, from weigh-ins to parades to banana babies to fan warm-ups. Marf Erst's original script had 5. And now we're even doing a pre-show out in front of the crowd. That's another hour of programming that we've never done before, even 2 months ago. So I think you got to look at where you are and just say, how do you plus the next day? How do you plus the next day? How do you plus the next day? And then all of a sudden you look back and say, wow, I can't believe where we started, how bad it was, and how far we've come.
In your latest book, Banana Ball, you have an entire chapter on mentors. How did mentorship play a role in your career?
It's really interesting because I think about mentors and there's so many people who have talked about their mentors in their life. And a lot of them are people they talk to on a regular basis. You know, you think of a mentorship now, it's like a formal thing. You have your Tuesday call with your mentor, you talk. I didn't directly have that. I had my mentors mostly through the Walt Disney's, the P.T. Barnum's. I had people like Ken, who was the original owner of the Gastonia Grizzlies, and my dad. But it was never in a mentor-mentee relationship. It was basically just, hey, these were friends that I'm going to try to learn how they live their life. And then in the books, I'm going to learn literally how they grew their business and made an impact. So I think mentors are huge. You need to look at more, who are your heroes? I think, who are your heroes, the people that you look up to, and what made them your hero? And then really just reimagine how you could do it if you were doing the same things. I often think, like, what would Walt do in this situation? Which is crazy. And I know that put Disney through a really tough spot for 20 years because no one did anything, because they just kept thinking, what would he do instead of actually doing it? But I think, what would Walt do right now if he had this? And now let's go do it. And that helps me tremendously.
Let's talk about risk. So you started out, you were a young guy, you almost lost everything, but then you got everything, and it's this amazing thing. But now there are, I would assume, hundreds of folks counting on you to keep this thing going so that they can provide for their families. How has your relationship with risk changed over the years?
It's a good question. I wasn't a great poker player back in the day, so I don't know how much I was good at risk back then, but it's still crazy to me. My mindset is so simple that I don't think about those stuff. Overwhelm, risk, challenges. They're great questions, Josh. Don't get me wrong. I am so single-minded focused on the show and the vision and creating fans. I spend all my time on that. Literally today, idea sessions, again, on what we can do in our shows to get better. Then I'm thinking about our world tour draft. How are we going to make this over the top to get people excited? That's what I think about. Yes, and risk. I mean, we just bought a 20,000 square foot building. We have a huge warehouse. We're hiring full-time people every single week. It is growing more than I ever imagined. But I guess I believe so much in what we're doing and the difference we're making that I'm not worried about that. I don't think about that. If you want to try to pry or get me to go somewhere exactly, but the reality is, it's like, if you're thinking so much about risk, you're not necessarily thinking about what you need to do to create fans. And I'm talking about creating fans of our people as well as the customers, potential guests that come to our ballpark. So it's just, hey, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We believe in it. We believe we're creating something no one else is creating. And we need to focus on getting better every day. That's what I'm focusing on, not the risk of multi-million dollars and whatever it's costing to operate us every single week. I'm not focusing on that.
And I would assume that that's because somebody else is, because you've great. Got great people yes. in place that you put in place, I would assume, as soon as possible. That way, that's somebody else's problem, right?
That's so important. Think about that. I mean, you got Steve Jobs, you got Tim Cook, you got Walt Disney, and then you got Roy. Every great company has that right-hand person. They have a visionary, which that's me. That's what I think about all the time. And you have someone that cares so much about the operation, the efficiency, making sure the financials work. The book Rocket Fuel was so important to me and Jared.
Yeah, great book.
Yeah, and they even joked in the book, like, the visionary will stop reading then. And he was like, the details. I focus so much on the beginning. I was like, I get this. I love this. This is me. Let's do it. And he's like, and the integrator will read the rest of the book. That's it. And so me and Jared have same page meetings. We talk almost every day. And then I have the same thing from an entertainment. Our director of entertainment, Zach, is unbelievable. So I think building a company, you can't have that at first. It was very hard. I had to do all of it. And myself, my wife, and Jared are a very small team. But then as you build it, that's where you see that huge scale and growth, because everyone's doing what they're the best at. And I'm not focusing on the operation, the money. I'm focusing on the vision. So he looks at risk. We share it. He believes in, Jared believes in the vision of where we're going. He knows that I'm going to keep focusing on that and making sure that we have money to take care of it.
Holy shit. You implemented EOS, Jesse Cole.
Don't get into me on like systems, but I guess that's what's happening.
That's beautiful, man. It's so important, I think, that you find your lane in both life and partnerships. How have you evolved as a leader? How have you gotten better over time? Because Lord knows what you have today is very different than what you started with.
I've learned the most from my wife, Emily, and I watch her every single day. And we started this together. We do everything together. We started Bananas Foster, our new nonprofit. There's 400,000 kids in the U.S. who don't have a home. And just like the Bananas created a wait list when no one wanted tickets, we're going to create a wait list for families all over the country that people want to be foster families. She's leading that. She's leading our team. So what I watch from her is an unbelievable level of empathy, of understanding. She tries to protect me so much because I'm so confident in what I want to do that I come into meetings and I'm like, this is where we're going. And she's like, well, Jesse, you got to remember everyone in the room, they all have different perspective. They haven't thought about this the last 24 days like you have. You got to come in. And so she has this ability to care for people so much. Even when we talk about future salaries, she's the one that like, well, is it fair? Are we looking at all these different? I'm like, well, that person's doing this. She's like, but Jesse, you got to see it. You couldn't do this if you didn't do this. And I think that overall understanding and overall care, Emily would spend every single dollar we have in our company and take care of our people. And we've done a lot of that. I mean, we've turned our whole office into a spa and surprised people with the massages and things. We had a party bus come and pick everyone up and take everyone shopping, give $500 gift cards for Christmas. We've surprised with cruises. She's always thinking about those gifts. I think that's what I think about now is you have to really take a step back. And every single time I speak, people take those words very seriously as a leader. And Jared, our president, tells me all the time, Jesse, if you say something, people are going with it. You need to make sure that you see the whole picture. And I think as a leader, that's really important because we have a lot of owners that come in bullish. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. This is it. Without understanding, hey, you got someone here who just started 2 weeks ago. Is that going to be intimidating to them? Hey, you got someone here that comes from this background. Maybe they're not speaking the same language as them. That's probably been the biggest area that I'm now more aware of than I have ever been.
I think there are universal truths in business. And I would assume that even though you're running baseball teams on the other side of the country, everyone listening could learn something from you and steal tactics, tools, and strategies that you've developed over time. What should the folks listening steal from you?
What is it? They said you can't connect the dots moving forward. You connect them looking back. I think I didn't have really any strategy when we first started. I was either just create fans first, create fans is all we talked about. But now looking back, we've had a really strategic way of doing that. And that's what I shared in my second book, Fans First. And I think the mindset of stop chasing customers, start creating fans is the most powerful concept you could think about. And how do you create fans? You're a sports team. It's easy to create fans. That's not true. You have literally a cooler brand who everyone's wearing their Yeti hats and their Yeti stuff. People will wear your brand if they're a fan. And so in Fans First, I talk about the 5 E's to create raving fans: eliminate friction, entertain always, experiment constantly, engage deeply, and empower action. And the one area that every single business can do is eliminate friction. Put yourself in the customer's shoes and eliminate friction every step of the way. And if you do that, it's not the fun one. That's your way you can start to wow them, because most people lose fans every day because there's friction in the experience. There's a longer wait time. There's something, a policy. There's a form you have to fill out. There's, oh, we can't do this because of that. There's those friction points that leave people frustrated, and they will leave your business faster than you even know. So that's what we looked at. That's why literally no ticket fees. We bought our own ticket company, so there's no ticket fees. We pay your taxes. There's no convenient fees. Service, like everything we do at a baseball game, we play music constantly, so there's no dead air, so you're never bored. It's all about eliminating friction. And I think every restaurant, every type of company, start there, and you'd be amazed at how many more fans you start creating.
What does winning look like? I'm sure that the pandemic probably influenced this, but when you look forward, what does success look like to you?
Yeah, winning and success. Again, winning is a tough thing. We have two teams that play each other. So it's like every night one of our teams is losing, and the Bananas have lost 25 games. So it's like, I don't think necessarily about winning. What I see at the end of the night when there's hundreds of people 2 hours after the game and our tuba player comes down the middle circle and starts playing the opening beats of Stand By Me, and everyone has their arms wrapped around each other, players, staff, cast, fans, and we're all singing Stand By Me. That's a moment that I think is like, there's nowhere else in the world that's bringing people together like this. And if we can keep doing that all over the world, bringing families, 2-year-olds and 82-year-olds together, and just have joy, happiness, where people don't take themselves so seriously, where we're just having fun, that would be winning and success over the years to come.
Our industry suffers from razor-thin margins. And the only way for us to ensure profitability is to make data-driven decisions. The numbers don't lie. And Yelp for Restaurants just released some incredibly compelling numbers. For starters, Yelp reaches 9 times more customers online than OpenTable. And when restaurants pair that level of visibility with Guest Manager and Yelp ads, they experience up to an 8% lift in diner bookings. Think about what that 8% lift could do for your restaurant's finances. To learn more about how Yelp for Restaurants can support your business, visit restaurants.yelp.com/full comp to learn more today. That's Jesse Cole. For more information on Jesse and his books, visit findyouryellowtux.com. If you want to tell us your story, hear previous episodes, or check out our other content, go to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, please leave us a review. A special thanks to Yelp for helping us spread the word to the whole hospitality community. I'm Josh Kopel. You've been listening to Full Comp.